Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
Welcome back to another edition of Real Answers with Christopher Anderson. Wednesdays during the noon report, we tackle the tough topics facing today's families with licensed mental health counselor Christopher Anderson. And well, Chris, you know, as COVID continues to hit hard, we follow up on a segment that we did last year on grieving, but from a bit of a different angle.
Yeah, Brandon, sure thing. When someone passes away, there is so much pain and often shock associated with the loss, especially if it was an unexpected loss. Friends and family members of the person experiencing the loss will rush in to help and give support, you know, as you would expect. But the thing is, what happens after the first couple of weeks or so? That's what we're going to discuss today.
It sounds like there is a loneliness and emptiness that can really persist.
Absolutely. Like I said, the process is not a nice linear straight line. It's much more of a, let's call it a small child's drawing that shows a squiggling line going all over the paper in all sorts of directions. So as time passes, what we want to see with people dealing with grief and loss, we want to see improvement. But there will definitely be days that are better than other days. Some days the pain and grief may be very strong, almost as if the loss just occurred. And then on other days, it's as if the person who is grieving can function fairly well, getting things done around the house or at work, etc. And then the next day or a few days after that, the person may be struggling again. But honestly, this is expected. Of course, it's not like this in all cases. And there are so many factors, Brandon, that contribute to how a person moves through grief, including the strength of the relationship that was lost and the level of support that a person is receiving from others. So a person's overall mental health and spiritual health, of course, plays a very substantial role in how well a person processes the grief.
So what about that all-important support system? How can people in that group help someone who has lost?
That brings us right to the angle that I wanted to address today. And like we said earlier, those early days and weeks of the loss oftentimes are overwhelming for someone who has suffered the loss, again, not only by the activities that need to be completed, such as funeral arrangements, but also by the outpouring of support and love. And these distractions actually delay the onset of the processing of the loss, but that's not necessarily bad. A person who has suffered the loss is grieving, but they're so busy with the preparations and meetings that they have to have, they truly haven't had time to just really process and consider that loss and start to work on how they're going to move forward. It's after the first few weeks that can be very difficult for folks. The cards that were being sent to the mail, they've stopped coming in. The meals that were being delivered to the house by other caring friends and family members, they've stopped. And now the person or the people of the family, let's say, it's not just always one person, but the people in the family are beginning to face life without their loved one. So here are just a couple of things to keep in mind when you are looking to support those who have lost loved ones. For one thing, number one, keep an eye on those folks that are grieving. Again, remember, they aren't likely to reengage life at the same level right away. They may not attend church again for a while. That's actually okay. I mean, they might need to be at home and just have folks over for a while. That's fine. But check in on them occasionally. What I do personally is I set some reminders in my iPhone or whatever phone you have, write it on a calendar on certain dates in order to spark your memory to make phone calls, arrange for visits, or prepare meals for those who, now that we're several weeks or even months out from the actual loss, that those folks might be needing some meals. I've had folks tell me that they are so grateful that they've received another card in the mail or a phone call or a prepared meal long after the others have stopped because, again, they say they need it. And to have people following up, they've expressed a lot of appreciation for that. This is important for folks. If you're somebody who has experienced loss, to hear this one here, number two, if you are someone who has lost, then accept that help graciously when people are offering it. I've worked with many people who are more than willing to jump in and support others, but when it's their turn to accept the support and the outpouring of love from other people, they might say, well, I don't want to be a burden on anyone, or so-and-so is too busy. I don't want to add more to their plate. Well, quite honestly, a lot of times these folks will turn that support away or they won't even ask. So again, this, I believe, is not entirely, but at least partially driven by pride. So we have to recognize that that might be our tendency. So make sure that you allow others to help you if you're grieving, when you need it. That's absolutely what most people say they would do if they were the ones responding to somebody else's grief and loss. So when the tables are turned, we need to be willing to accept that help at all as well. And then number three, if you notice a loved one continues to struggle at a very deep level, for example, you might see that they're not taking good care of themselves or they're very much isolating, you may need to then involve a medical or a mental health professional, a pastor, or somebody else to help offer support and to help them get beyond that grief.
You've been listening to another edition of Real Answers with Christopher Anderson. It airs Wednesdays during the noon report. We tackle the tough topics facing today's families with Christian counselor Christopher Anderson.